You know how that you were looking at getting a 3D printer for the office?
Oh yeah, I'm ready to go.
Are you gonna get one?
Oh, I'm definitely getting one. I don't know, like I'm still in the learning process of really understanding like which machine to get, and like which one's gonna be big enough to print a wheel.
You're gonna prioritize a 3D scanner or a 3D printer?
No, I think the printer.
Okay.
Because the printer, I think I can plug and play for the most part. My problem is that like I want a large format machine so we can print like at least up to a 20-inch wheel,
yeah,
and not have to do like the small type wheels. But I don't want to spend like, I don't know, like $15,000.
So how
like,
much they are?
Well, the good ones that can do some of that stuff. Yeah, kind of like the large format printing is you can now people will say like, oh, just you don't need something that big. You just print it in half and then glue it together. But like, I really want.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true. Did you ever see the video of the guy who did the 3D printed Lambo?
Oh, it's sick. Yeah, I saw that a few months ago.
But that's not an industrial printer. He's using like an at-home printer.
Well, but did you see what he did? He made it like they were all little tiny panels. He like made it into a grid.
Yeah.
The whole car into a grid.
And pieced it together.
Yeah, that seems crazy to me. Wouldn't it be easier just to print the door?
I don't know. I mean, but I remember when I was watching the video, he was using like a printer that he just bought off of Amazon or something.
Yeah. So yeah. No, I know. I mean, absolutely. I mean, man. I mean, it's wild.
That
it's not a Lamborghini.
That's the car. That's crazy.
So I think the number I heard was something like it cost him like $20,000 to build that car.
That's so crazy.
So if I get a really large format printer, I'm thinking about making a McLaren.
Send that over to Tavares.
Something tells me if Freddie had the ability to reprint his parts with 3D printing, he would have already been doing it.
Yeah, but I mean, I must say that is crazy.
Now, the one thing I'll take away, and I'm not, you know, I'm not an expert in 3D printing by any means, right, is that from what I know, there's a couple processes that he did here. The first process is that he was able to take the panels that he did, right? He printed them with a regular PLA and basically just stitched them all together with this glue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And once he got the glue together and he got all the panels, like let's say on the door, he was able to then use, you know, different fillers and stuff like that to basically smooth it out and sand it, right? Now, I know that he also spent a lot of time wrapping and laminating the plastic parts in carbon fiber.
Wow.
Right? So like he's essentially using, you know, in a weird way, like back in the day, if we were going to try to make a bumper or a fender flare, and before there was like all these things, what we would do
fiberglass.
What we would do is we would actually spray, basically we would like put some stuff down on top of a fender. Let's say we're making a flare.
Uh-huh.
We put some stuff down on top of the fender so that it didn't like go right to the fender. And we would essentially spray like two cans or a can of that expanding foam that you use like in window insulation.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Then we would kind of get the shape down, and then we would basically put fiberglass right on top of it. Wow. And once it dried, you'd have basically like a plug, mm-hmm. which was, you know, essentially that's something you can use to then line and basically, you know, make parts. And it's theoretically you use that same process in a similar fashion with the right chemicals, which I don't really have the knowledge base for, to make carbon fiber parts.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially what he did was he used the plastic parts as that plug, and then you were able to laminate the car with carbon fiber. And I think that's super crazy, awesome, right?
Definitely awesome.
But, and which also gives it a lot more strength. But, you know, I mean, this is still a kit car.
Some sort of a kit car, I guess.
It's pretty wild.
That, I mean, so I don't know what the chassis is.
Well, I think that's it.
I know, but what was it? Is it just custom or was it from?
No, I think he built it. I think he built it all. They didn't have anything.
Oh, wow.
So what's incredible to me is that you can use the 3D printer to essentially make any parts for your car that you want to make,
mm-hmm.
You know, within reason. I mean, you know, I wonder, you know, could the potential ability of 3D printers change the way people source some of their aftermarket accessories in a sense of, well, let's say I have a 3D printer and I want to make a fender flare. Instead of doing it the old way, maybe I just put the file in, develop it, print it out.
Boom.
Boom.
You got a fender flare.
Right? Use the right type of material. Again, I'm ignorant when it comes down to this.
So am I.
Totally. And once you do that, just the ability to then just put it on the car. Right? Yeah.
I mean, also, is it too long of a process for people to use for like test fitting and stuff like that? Not on just wheels, but just
I know for a fact that like companies like AMS use it when they make like intakes or they're designing a header or something that they're going to run for production.
Yeah.
They make it out of these 3D plastic and stuff like that, 3D printed plastic, and they put it on the car and they mount all the components to it and they make sure like, is everything going to fit? Is everything going to work? Like, it's the quickest way to do it. And it's one of the reasons
Probably the cheapest way to do it too, yeah?
I would say undoubtedly it is, only because you can utilize your CAD files. You could develop it in the computer.
Yeah.
And then you can walk out after printing it and try it on the car. It's the same
And make adjustments, yeah?
Well, I mean, yeah, of course, of course. But I think at that point, you're going to know when you hold a physical part in your car. All right, this part's going to clear, so we need to have a divot here or this here or that there. And then all you have to do is kind of adjust your computer file.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But, like, for me, one of the reasons I want a large format printer is that, like, I think that there's something, you know, we do a lot of stuff on computers with wheel design, right? Like, when we're working on wheel designs, we are constantly, like, looking for that angle of, like, okay, like, here's the wheel. This is what we've done. It looks good on the computer. We turn it around, we move it in the 3D sense, and we kind of feel like, yeah, this wheel looks great. But what about, like, sometimes you just, and I've had it happen to me before, I develop a wheel, I get it really close, looks good on the computer, in person I get it, and it's close, but just missing some of the detail, I guess, I thought I saw on the computer. And I think that there's something about holding the wheel in your, you know, personal view and being able to really tilt it and see how the light reflects off of things and, like, what am I not seeing? Which details am I missing? Does it need a radius here? Is this too harsh? Is this, you know, a little too squared up? Maybe we should have rounded this area a little bit more or something like that. Is the lip not really enough of a lip? I mean, things like that, like, that you almost can lose in perception by looking at a computer screen, right?
Yep.
So I want to be able to, like, all right, yeah, we're getting close. We're ready to pull the trigger on this wheel. 3D print
it first. Let's make it.
Yeah, let's 3D print it first. Let's, you know, take a few days to 3D print it, because that's kind of roughly what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And let's look at it. Let's look at it in person.
Well, what about in terms of, like, you know, test fitting?
Well, yeah, but in theory, if I have a car at my disposal, I can just scan the brake and then use the 2D profile to check.
Oh, I see.
So I don't know. But I mean, I guess it, you know, could you imagine how funny it would be? I mean, I don't even have any comprehension about how much it would be to possibly 3D print a full wheel. But, like, can you imagine, like, you are somehow able to get it to a material that's strong enough, put a tire on it, and then, like, use it for, like, photos? You just...
Yeah.
But, like, that's crazy to me. That couldn't be done.
Well,
I don't think. I mean, you could definitely not hold the load on it. But even if you propped the car up so all the load wasn't on it, like,
yeah, just
how you pry against the plastic lip, the thing goes shoots. Oh,
you won't be able to get a tire onto it, probably. You know,
have to cut the back of the tire.
Yeah, we have a really big tire.
And think of the limits, though, that you could do with this thing. Like, could you buy a 3 Series and just spend, you know, a winter. People are like, what's your winter project? Oh, just printed an M3. Like,
and they're like, what?
Like, I mean, like, you just sitting there and you're like, you take a regular 3 Series and next thing you know, you do the over fenders, over quarters. Like, you do all the cool, like, little parts and stuff like that and, like, you know, make it into a clone without...
I mean, what about not even a clone? What if people just want to start doing custom body kits or something like that out of their own imagination?
I mean, I guess if you're that handy with a computer, why not, right?
Well, I mean, if people have a car and they want to just design their own kit,
yep,
it's definitely possible, right?
I think so. I mean, I guess it depends on how good you are with AutoCAD and stuff. But this Lamborghini project is
real deal.
Bananas.
I mean, it's also a real deal. This guy, I mean, I think he has an LS1 in it, and
yeah, it's an LS1.
And he caught attention from Lamborghini themselves. They
used it in a commercial.
Yeah, that's right. And the commercial was good. Did you see it?
I saw it.
Yeah.
Listen. I think the heart-tugging strings were there. I think very cool. What I like more about that commercial was less the commercial and more about the fact that an OE looked at the love somebody had for their car or their brand and embraced the fact that, this person can't afford this car.
Right.
But they look at all the hours they put in out of admiration for this car and this brand to replicate something. And we still say that's okay.
Well, yeah, they showed up and showed support for his project. But if people haven't seen the commercial, the commercial is like he has the 3D printed car in the garage, and Lamborghini themselves, like the employees, like sneak into the house at nighttime and they take the car out, the 3D printed one, they replace it with a real Aventador, and then they wake up on what, like Christmas morning or something?
Well, that wasn't exactly what I think happened. What I think happened was Lamborghini, or I think if I remember, I mean, I saw this months ago, but okay. What I believe happened was the father and the son had been working on this car for a long time. And the father, Lamborghini contacted him and basically said, hey, listen, we'd like to do something cool. And they decided to do this commercial with them, right?
Yeah.
So something around that time of the year, the winter time, Lamborghini basically waited till the kid went to sleep. And the father and Lamborghini pushed in, a new Lambo.
No, this is the commercial right here.
I understand, but I think this is what happens.
They come with a team, and they replace the car.
A team, but what I'm saying is the father was in on it. The father knew about it. Isn't that the father, right there?
Yeah, but it's this Christmas story for the kid.
I understand, so what I'm saying is then he takes the kid out there, and the commercial is like, hey, I finished it.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But, look, I mean, I don't believe by his reaction that, because I feel like if that kid came back after doing this thing for a year or at a time, and he, or 5 years, I forget how long it took him, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he comes out and that crappy LS1 sounds like that. That kid's not stupid. I could tell by the look in his eye, but it's a great commercial.
Yeah.
And more so, the fact that Lamborghini gets on board with a project like this, embraces it enough, and kind of shows their love for the pedigree of car that they've developed is more, it actually makes me like Lamborghini more.
You know what I don't get though? So I know on this particular car, for the 3D printed car, the guy has actual Aventador headlights that were given to him by Lamborghini.
Yeah.
And he says that the headlights would have cost $10,000 or something.
Right.
And then he has
that part you don't understand?
No, hold on.
Because they're expensive.
No. And then he has a steering wheel that was given to him by Lamborghini. So it's an actual Aventador steering wheel.
Yep.
But and then he talks, the owner of the 3D printed car, he talks about how there's a group of five different guys that are all doing the same project.
Right.
3D printed an Aventador.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing I don't get about it is
I don't know if they're all Aventadors, but I'm with you. Yeah.
No?
I don't know. I thought they were all Lamborghinis. I didn't know, but I'm with you.
Oh, maybe they each, maybe
no,
one,
maybe they
maybe,
are.
Maybe I, one has a Diablo, I don't know. One has a Gallardo.
Not worth, yeah, it wasn't.
But, so then, Lamborghini supporting this, which I think is funny because it's people that are kind of taking their product for a much cheaper price or, executing.
But you don't really feel that that's like, for example, you don't feel that there's a future in people, let's say, creating 3D printed, exotic cars and passing them off as exotic cars. Do you?
Well, that's what this guy's doing.
No, I don't think so.
Why not?
Well, there's a couple reasons I don't think so. Because one, I remember he specifically said something out of respect to Lamborghini. He wasn't going to put any of their badges on the car with the exception of the steering wheel that they gave him.
Sure. Right? Sure.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
You remember that too? That's a fact?
So, yeah.
And so I think what that's saying is hey, listen, I'm not trying to pass this car off as a Lamborghini. It looks like a Lamborghini.
Uh-huh.
But he's only giving respect to Lamborghini on the steering wheel because they gave him that part. It was a blessed part.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
They didn't. And so I think that there's, you're never going to find the guy.
Yeah.
Let me put it, can I put it in a different way?
Mm-hmm.
The kit cars where they made Countaches
yep.
from Fieros.
Right.
There was not a soul that saw one of those cars, nor do I think there was an owner that built one of those cars that ever really led with the impression of this is a Countach.
Sure. Okay, sure. What I'm saying, there's five of these guys, right? There's five of these guys rolling around.
That's sick.
That is sick. But there's five of these guys rolling around it in 3D printed Aventadors, right?
I mean, I don't know, but maybe
whatever. Well, yeah. You know, who's to say that with the budget that it demands, there could be hundreds of people who end up doing this project because it's more affordable.
But wait a minute,
and no one's gonna throw a Lamborghini badge on it, and then maybe get a serious paint job and try to play it off as if they got a real Lamborghini.
What, and open it up and there's an LS1?
Sure, but I'm sorry. Well, you would know. I would know, but regular people, they won't know when you see it on the road.
Listen, I gotta tell you, I think that would be like really like I don't believe that there's a solid market in that. And I'll tell you a couple reasons why. What kind of engine is that? What kind of engine?
There are people.
What is that? What is that? Feels like a GM something. I don't know. See what I mean? Like here, but there's another point to doing something like this. Do you feel good about I don't want to do this again. Do you feel good about people that turn their regular 3 Series into M clones?
No, of course
not. Why don't you feel that way?
Because it's not that.
My point exactly.
I have morals,
Like, but what I'm saying is like the skill that's involved to be able to build and assemble a 3D printed exotic car like that.
Uh-huh.
And have the proportional dimensions be so spot on that they could even be mistakenly represented for moments as a real Lamborghini, right? Or a real exotic, require a skill set that means that person knows full well in what they're doing, right?
Okay.
And if they're going to do that, I still don't believe their goal is to pass it off as the exotic car that I bought.
Maybe not the person who's doing it for the building, but say there ends up being a market for this where there's a guy who gets this 3D printing down to a science, and then he starts doing this with tons and tons of, chassis, and he sells them off.
But I think at that point what ends up happening, this is what I think.
Okay.
I think at that point it ends up being a situation where Lamborghini sues that person for everything they're worth.
Oh, I guess
because it's a difference that from a profitable sale.
That sounds very plausible.
This is a project, a personal project.
The way my brain was going with this, like, there are people who spend a lot of money just to rent an exotic car to look like they're cool for a day. You know, like that's a real market. People,
I believe that. Yeah,
people rent. They go down to Florida and they go rent an exotic car and they drive around like they're like they're hot crap.
And I don't even like that.
But imagine if those people had the opportunity to buy one of these cars, like, and they could drive around looking almost legit all the time.
Well, I guess it will match their Folex and their Ubin cigar.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting at.
I'm just not sure. What I'm saying is
Ubin cigar.
I just think that there's enough here. Like, for example, if this guy was trying to make a Lamborghini to be a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be an LS1 in that car.
No, of course not.
He would have searched out some used, and it's not the right engine, but he would have found
an R8.
Right.
Yeah.
Or he would have figured out a way to adapt the 5.2 liter V10.
Or you take the
that's in the S5.
Or I was gonna say even on a smaller scale, take out the 5-cylinder from the RS3.
I mean. All right, but like now you're watering it down.
You are, but this is a watered down Lamborghini, and it at least has like
what? Just because it's made of plastic? Come on, Rich. I mean, I think that the
it does look cool though.
Of course, it looks cool.
I mean, look at that.
Yes, it looks cool. And I think the project is sick. And the truth is, if you told me I had all the space in the world and I had all the time, like if I'm retired and you're like, hey, Scott, what are you doing today? I'm like, oh, I'm going to eat pancakes. You know what I mean? Like I'm just saying like if you like, you know, I don't have anything to do.
Pancakes is
like,
what true, am I doing? I'm true no, I'm free
gonna,
time
gonna
meal.
Going to eat some pancakes. Like, and then what are you doing? I don't know. Maybe I'll put my pants on. You know what I mean? Like, if you have that, then I think that there's something interesting about, like, doing a project like this just because of the complexity of the build. This guy's like I am.
Yeah.
He likes complicated build. I can just see it. He's a methodical man. Like, right. He likes projects not because of what he's going to have when it's done. He likes projects because of the process, and he likes projects because of all the things he's going to be challenged with in it, like a chess game mentality.
Yeah, he likes to have it. He likes to have constant headaches.
I love that.
I know.
That's what I do. Like pancakes, pants, and building Lamborghinis out of plastic. That's what I do.
There you go. We got to put that on a shirt.
Right. You know. But look, I think what this guy's been able to do is incredible. I struggle a little bit with, you know, could this catch on? I think this could catch on. I think 3D printing could catch on in an aftermarket sense for users that are looking to accessorize and do some stuff.
Well, you want R34, right?
Yes. All right. So, I'm willing to entertain where you're about to go.
Right. Here. You want R34.
Just understand you're on a fine line between sacrilege. Just go ahead.
Totally.
All right.
So, all right. I'll give you two scenarios.
Appreciate that.
You end up finding a R32 GTR that's for a decent price because it's a little more common than R33 at a decent price. Yeah, fair to say.
Okay, where are you going with this, Rich?
And then if you could take an R32 and in this time period where you can't get an R34 in the States, uh-huh, and 3D print a kit for it that would make it look like a R34.
No, I don't know. That's terrible. No, I wouldn't do that.
Okay, so what if you had a GTST R34? And people do a kit for that and make it make it a GTR.
I think you found the scenario. I mean, I guess in that scenario, if I had an R34 Skyline, yep, right? Like a regular, like, I guess I would potentially, you know, print the Z-Tune fenders and some of the things we needed to, you know, make the front end look right and whatever. But I mean, the difference between me, and I think this is exactly the same sentiment he had by not putting the Lamborghini badges on, mm-hmm, was I wouldn't put GTR badges on it. Because that to me is sacrilege.
Do you think Chris from B is for Bill could have did his R34 thing easier with 3D printing?
That's a great question.
You know?
Do I think he could have done it easier? I don't think Chris could have done it in the time scale that he did what he did.
Right.
It's an interesting process, though. And I would actually love to ask Chris if he's entertained it. I would imagine that Chris does use 3D printing in some capacity at some length.
He's so custom and stuff, yeah.
Well, I also think it's much faster to do it out of, you know, one-off pieces, you know, mm-hmm, like really work, do metal work and stuff like that, than it would be to try and, you know, do it in a way where.
I think it's cool.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty dope. But anyhow. It's
cool. Well, then what if everyone who had an R35 decided to switch over the body to a 3D printed R34?
Well, I think that's crazy.
Really?
Well, I think it's crazy because I think you're taking a car and
I said to everyone, but I just mean, like, what if people did that?
I mean, I don't think that's a good idea.
Why? Because then you still have a GTR, and it's not like cloning a 3 Series to an M.
Let me tell you what I think. You know, I drove the BS Rebuild R34, 35,
mm-hmm,
R69.
Yeah, R69, yep.
For those who don't know what we're talking about, Chris from BS Rebuild, clearly you know his channel, but if you don't, YouTube, BS Rebuild. He developed he made a car where he took an R35 under drivetrain, under chassis, whatever, and he essentially mated it on top of an R34 body.
The amount of times I watched this video.
And then he got GTR, you know, over fenders and stuff like that. Reproduction stuff. It's all reproduction Z-tune stuff, whatever. But it's he made the car look like an R34. Now, to do the R35 thing, he obviously had to cut the middle of an R35 and shorten it by, I think it was like something like 8 inches or something. Because the wheelbase on the R35 is just that much longer. Additionally to that, the car ends up being a lot wider. So when you go to pick wheels, you have to now use anemic wheels to be able to put onto the car because the wheelbase, I think, is like 2 inches wider all the way around on the car. So, you know, that's a substantial amount that you now have to fit back under the body. But now I drove this car. I didn't do anything like the Autobahn. I literally drove it across the street in the convention center and into our booth. But the cool part about this car was all in the fact that when you got in the car, it was an R35.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain that. Like, you got in the car, it was an R35. It handled the same. It started the same. It drove the same. Like, and R35s are fun cars to drive, but when you got out of the car, now I will tell you the thing that was not great, which was you couldn't get the seat to go back really all the way.
Right.
Like, you were cramped in the space, not so much for me because I'm a short fry, but what I'm saying is, like, it wasn't like you couldn't just recline the seat because they had to shorten the car so much and the body was only so big. So, like, you know, there's that, right? Yeah. Cool project, cool car. Chris does not build cars that are like the Tommy F. Yeah builds that you've seen.
Yeah, we don't have to start anything here.
No, I want to say this because it drives me nuts. When people get on the internets, the interweb,
right,
the webernet,
yep,
and they concoct these things. Chris's channel is made off of the thought of what if,
right?
What if you could do this,
yeah,
and then doing it, and could he finish these cars even better than he does? Sure, it would take him three times as long,
right?
This guy's 3D printing a Lambo in his garage and it's taken him, what, how many years?
Like five years, yeah.
Like, what I'm saying to you is fit and finish is everything. And I think that if you went around to this car, you could critique the heck out of this car, the 3D printed Lamborghini, because I think as good as the fit and finish is and as much as he's putting into the work of trying to get, you know, the shot lines and everything to match up and the gaps to be good and the panels to open.
Yep.
I think you're going to walk around and just inherently because he's going to have to take some cheater points to be able to fit things like the window, the windshield that he cut down or different things like that. You're going to be able to pick apart some of the things that just don't look right. Hence the kit car part. But, you know, getting back to this whole point, Chris is never trying to make something that's of OE quality. He's trying to make a version of a what if in kind of land. And when you put together that R69 quote unquote, you know, package,
yep,
it's really cool.
It sure. I mean, I spent the whole week with that car and it's sick.
I think that the coolest part about that car, and I don't know that you'd want to do it, but like, that's a car that, look, it's an R35.
Yep.
You could drive that car.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you theoretically could fit into that car as well as I do.
I sat in it,
but like there is this level.
All right.
Now, as a purist,
yep,
who does care about the cars themselves, there is this level, as cool as it is and as fun as it is to drive and different things like that, that I still feel a little imposterish about driving a car that looks like an R34 and having people think that I actually think that I made an R34. I don't know how to explain this.
That's the way I feel about this Lambo thing, though. So, in other words, because
more... Cool to build, but would I want to drive it?
Well, no, but what I'm saying is that, like, all right, so you take the general population. The general population can tell you when a Lamborghini Aventador is a lot easier than they can tell you what an R34 Skyline is, right? General public.
I guess I would make that statement. I think it's a fair statement.
Right.
Had to think about it for a minute.
I can't believe they even have to think about that. There are kids that could tell you what a Lamborghini Aventador is.
Listen, my son could tell you both.
I'm sure. You know what I mean?
Around my house, we know what the R34s are. Yeah. And we know what GTRs are.
Right.
Very well versed.
But I think it's a little bit more well known on what maybe a Lamborghini looks like or whatever, just iconically. So if their neighbors, if he's driving around in his car, I bet you most of his neighbors say, "Oh, that's, I don't know what his name is. You know, that's Jerry. He has a Lamborghini."
Oh wow,
I'm sure they say that.
For 5 feet away, I'm sure that that's a possibility.
He's always driving his Lambo around the neighborhood.
Is that car a spec? It looks a little off to me, but that's a whole other story. Maybe a little bit. I mean, like, yeah, that's stock. No, but I think it's very cool what he's doing. I just, I don't.
But there's got to be people that look at him and just go, "Oh yeah, that's right. He has a Lamborghini." You know,
right?
And he's sitting in his room, just like they'll never know.
No, I just tend not to believe it.
I mean, not everyone knows his YouTube channel or watches progress. They just see him for what it is: him driving in what seems to be a supercar.
I don't know, man. I just don't feel good about it. I feel like I enjoy building it, but then driving it, he drops his little kid off at school,
and yeah. Every one of the kids that are looking, they're going to go, Lamborghini, your dad's so cool.
Right.
Yeah, I mean.
And then there's going to be the one dad that's standing off to the side that's going to hear that LS and go, what is that?
Yeah.
I mean, I tend not to really care a ton about what people think of me.
Yeah.
But having them think that I'm not driving an official thing like that for some reason does bother me.
And it would bother me too.
But I think it's because it goes against everything I really think of. Mm-hmm. Like, I cherish the car. So to me, I would love building this car, but I wouldn't know what to do once I had it together. Maybe I would. Maybe I would love driving this thing. I don't know.
How would you feel about having a fully 3D printed, like, full scale car that you can't drive? Like,
I don't even know if I understand what that question means.
I don't know. Someone made like a full 3D printed car,
and like to hang up on their wall,
just to have. I don't know. Do you think that's cool at all?
Just to have? What the hell is the point of having a car if you don't drive it at all?
Nothing.
Bad enough that I have a car that I barely drive that much.
That's,
I mean,
true. Well, it's basically the same thing then.
No, I drive my car more than that, but. But yeah, like, I mean, what's, you know, I would still, I mean, don't get me wrong. If I had that car, I'd still rip on it, I think. Like, yeah. But I don't think I'd be running to the car show with it.
I mean, that guy, you know, he goes to the car show.
But you know what the difference is, too, is that that car is different for him, because as much as he's not trying to put it on, I think, and he's documented his process, I think he's at the other extreme, which is he takes it and he's really proud of what he built.
As he should be.
Right?
Right. As he should be.
I agree.
It's incredible.
Yeah. It is incredible.
They said that windshield was off a Pacifica.
Yeah, I know, and they cut it. And when I saw the video getting close to it, I was like, no, they cut that.
So if he put, you know, 20 grand and countless hours into this build, like,
yeah.
how much of that 20 grand were those wheels? You know?
Does that count though?
Why not?
I don't know. I mean, I heard the number, but I don't know what the number means.
What if the number
was just in, like, in 3D printing?
Oh.
I have no idea. I don't know what it costs to 3D print stuff like that.
Me either. I also don't know how much money he spent on this entire thing. I mean, he might.
But like, is there a limit? Like, do you get to a point where like
he might have been able to get a 911 or something?
Like,
how far
do we take this as a hobbyist about using 3D printing to replicate things? Like, is what I'm just, and I'm throwing out this hypothetically. I don't want an answer here, but hypothetically, there's some people that look for mail order brides because maybe they can't meet anybody.
Okay.
Where's the limit on 3D printing?
I mean,
are we there? Because to me, I don't like that as a hobby.
I think it's just a start for 3D printing.
Oh, you? Well, I mean, you know, what was that thing that you were talking about, 3D printing not too long ago with the food?
Yeah, what happened to 3D printed food?
Well, see, I don't know that there ever was 3D printing food. Is that a thing?
I know that for like years ago, I'm talking about like it had to be like 3-4 years ago, there was this thing in like Asia that was showing off how they were going to have like a 3D printed food cafe or something.
I'm doing real close. I'm really taking close here to watch my words.
Look at this. Look, this is, I bet you this
is. What is that?
3D printed food.
But what does that mean?
I don't know. I don't even know what it's made of. What's the basis? I have no idea. But like that never caught on.
Well, I would argue that maybe it's just a little faster to make the damn hamburger. You know what I mean? Like, hamburger takes, what, like 8 minutes, 4 minutes a side, and then we got to wait, what, 3 days for this thing to...
I don't quite understand.
But, like, what's the material?
I don't know. You know when they make a hot dog and they put all the meat through the processor and it comes out as like a sausage link on the other end? It's basically, they probably just use that same stuff.
Right, now I'm going to go one step further. Like, there's some things that I think are really interesting. And, you know, they've done metal 3D printing and stuff like that. And they can print 3D print with carbon fiber strands and stuff like that. So there's some interesting pieces there. But, like, at what point do you say, like, oh, I don't know.
Would you eat it?
Well, it depends what it tastes like.
Oh, I would dive.
We're talking about
the. I'll dive right in.
For those that are listening on the whatever. There's a YouTube on our YouTube channel when we're putting this thing up. There's a B-roll of somebody showing the 3D food printing process, which is so. But with that said, you know, I think
that's
delicious.
That's crazy.
I mean, why not just squirt that into your mouth?
I don't know. Is
like,
it
why do I need the shape? You might as well squirt it. That sounds terrible. I'm not going to say that anymore.
Wait, no, but honestly, I wish I had an understanding of what I was looking at because I don't know what that is.
I mean, that can't be different flavors. Like the the bun can't taste like a bun if it's squeezed out of the same tube that's making the meat.
I mean, maybe it's that good.
Oh, look, he put the realistic wave in it. Like, that's going to change the flavor. What is it?
Do you have to salt it? Do you have to add salt?
What is that? Oh, that's meat extrusion.
That's crazy. Sorry. But that's what I'm saying. I feel like it's the beginning for 3D printing.
But at what point? Let me ask you a question. Oh, they're going
to. Is that 3D printed meat?
There's no way. No, they're making. There's the 3D printed meat. They're putting some back grain in it. I mean, all right. I don't care how.
I think that's real food.
So anyhow, so bottom line is, at some point, do you feel that there's a limit of 3D printing that just gets to a point where you're like, I don't know, it's cool, but I don't know. Like, for example, imagine you go to board an airplane,
mm-hmm.
and the pilot walks out and says, glad you're here. First run on this baby, slaps his hand on the side of the plane and says, 3D printed. Right, like, I would ask him, like, well, you know, what was it printed from?
Like, well, my question would be like, why didn't you just make it the regular way?
Well, because 3D printing just reached its peak. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm expecting that to
but
be.
But if I say, why didn't you make it the regular way? What happened to aerospace grade aluminum or something?
We used it on the metal printer.
Well, no, but if he goes, yeah, this is better than that, I'd probably be like, all right, let's go.
No, I don't think you would.
Why not? If the pilot tells me that this 3D printed plane is better than the old planes, I'd be like, okay.
All right, let's
find out.
Before we wrap this up here, let me counter on one point. Hypothetical situation, of course.
Mm-hmm. Is that a 3D printed plane?
Oh yeah, but it's a little one. It's like a that you're seeing on the screen right there. That is a 3D printed, like, smaller version.
Did you know that existed?
3D printing? Yes, we just had a podcast.
No, 3D printed planes.
I mean, 3D printing has no limit. You can print anything you want. That's a little one, though. That's not like a, like this, like a little radio control one.
Oh.
No one's flying in that one.
Oh.
Like, it's not like they shrunk, it's not Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and they put them into that little airplane.
I couldn't tell, it was far away.
I guess the scale of the person that was in the frame that threw you off.
I thought it was really
buzzing by at 6 feet.
No, I think I missed it. I don't know. Okay.
You see what I mean? Like, it's not exactly. Anyhow, so if we could shrink you down, Zoolander. You'd be happy to fly on that one.
It's like Zoolander. What is this? A center for ants?
So here's a hypothetical. Somebody says to you, hey, listen. You know, the cause of most aircraft incidents mm-hmm. occur from pilot error, and they start on a comedy of errors that cause a plane incident. And we figured out a way to make it better. We basically fly the plane from the ground, right? Like drones.
Yep.
We turn every plane into a drone. There is no manned cockpit.
Okay. Sounds plausible.
You're in? You get on the plane?
I mean, that sounds like it's probably what's going to happen.
What I'm asking you is, you get on the plane.
If are you getting on?
Hell no.
Where are we going? Where were we supposed to
what
go?
What does it matter?
Is it worth the risk?
No, what do you mean worth the risk? It's an airplane. You're going on another airplane. What I'm saying to you is, no, I'm not getting on that airplane, because the truth is, when that pilot gets on the plane with me, I truly believe he's got some skin in the game. I believe that when he gets on that plane, he has every intention of getting off that plane with me.
Right.
So if I don't get a pilot on the plane, I don't know that I feel like, what happens if he gets tired in mid-flight and hits the autopilot and says, you know what, let me grab a cup of coffee, and walks away, and all of a sudden we hit this crazy pocket, and he's like, and it's like, I mean, what do they do? You go to check, you push a button and the screen comes up and they see it's just like, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Like, I mean, I don't want to know.
What you get over the intercom is him going to be radioing in from the ground. He's going to be like, you guys are going to hit some turbulence soon. And he's just like, good luck.
Right. You know? Like, seems like the air conditioning cut out. Seems like it's going to be hot up there for you guys. So, luckily, I'm here in a control room and it's a beautiful 62 degrees.
Yeah, he's with his feet up and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. He's at home in his underwear flying the plane. Yeah. I just don't think.
But he has his shirt on and just a Zoom meeting.
Oh, it's like a Zoom meeting?
Yeah.
You can like page the pilot. No, like I think that there's some things that I'm just going to need a little bit more faith in human interaction.
Well, the 3D printing stuff I think is just going to become more consumer. You know, like the average household might have a 3D printer.
Two technologies that I'm really excited about getting, well, I guess three, but three technologies that I'm really excited about technology really getting behind and them becoming more efficient as years go on.
AI, 3D printing, 3D scanning.
I wasn't thinking AI, but AI is clearly on that fast pass. I was thinking more of like in hardware sense, but like thinking 3D printing,
3D scanning,
3D scanning, mm-hmm. and battery technology. Battery technology. Because I think if you get to a point where, like, you know, you have a battery this big and you can power your house, that's crazy.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, is that in the works?
Well, I was in the process of making wheels, not batteries, so yeah. I don't really know. But, like, what I'm saying
is, I don't know limitations of batteries enough.
I understand, but neither do I. But what I'm saying is, if we can get to a point where the size of a battery can be this big and, you know, power your car for, you know, or even a regular conventional size battery that could power your car for 200 miles. Think about how revolutionizing that would be, providing you could charge it in 12 minutes.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Now, can you imagine if you could, like, well, we're getting off topic here. Anyhow, okay. Bottom line is, I don't know. I think it's an interesting thing. I love what this dude and his son have been doing. I think it's great that Lamborghini got him on board. I think it's interesting what the potential will bring for further. Because I know people are doing stuff like this, you know? Yeah. But I think it's incredible to see what people will do.
That looks pretty good, man.
It does, but there's a part of it that I'm not in love with. I don't...
Shifter's not great.
Well, yeah, no, he's not, but he's also not, I don't know if he's necessarily done with it, but there's a couple parts that I'm, you know, but yeah, he's done a pretty crazy job. And so that's a real steering column. It's legit steering column. I heard he got that out of an R8 and then they gave him the steering wheel. So, yeah, I don't know. I think there's some really cool things there. And the fact that he done some really cool carbon fiber work, that's sick. But, you know, look, I mean, that's not the seat I would have used necessarily, but it's cool. It matches to an extent, you know. So anyhow, bottom line is I think that the odds that you can use 3D printing to really develop some cool things, I think are awesome. I just, you know, I wonder, you know, at what point 3D printing will get to that stage where it's so easy that, you know, maybe people use it more in a mainstream fashion like that.
Yeah.
I know it's being used a lot. I'm just saying, like,
I think as of right now, I think it really has its part as like a fill in legacy pieces or something like that. Of like people who have like old.
Oh, they've done a good job with that.
Yeah, people who have old products that aren't being manufactured parts for anymore and having to make a part that you can't get ever again. Like, that's like where it has its home
right now. They're doing it for some of the Skyline people. So I know some of the Supra people, and like, I didn't even know like some guy that did it for DSM, like VR4s, because what they were doing is, like, there were certain interior pieces that they no longer made.
Yeah, you can, yeah.
And so, like, the only way to get them fixed was, I mean, you know, to get them replaced was just to 3D print them.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's super cool. Mm-hmm. Super cool. So the question is, for those out there, Would you possibly 3D print an exotic or a vehicle or something to clone it? Would you call it, you know, the same thing? Like, yeah. Or would you recognize it as a kit, in a sense?
Yeah.
And you know, where do you think some of this technology goes? Because I think it's pretty dope. What is that?
That's Groot.
I don't know all these complicated. I heard my kids talk about it.
That's Groot.
I think my daughter was Groot for Halloween.
That's Groot.
Anyhow, I'm not hip on the lingo. I don't know what to tell you.
It's just a guy from a movie.
I just want to build cars.
Vin Diesel plays Groot.
So is it now you expect me to be interested?
No, but he's well versed. Dominic Toretto, Groot.
All right, Rich.
Yeah.
Anyhow, thanks for hanging out with us. We'll catch you on the next one.